بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا In our books of du'as and ziyarats, like Mafatih al-Junan and many other books, if you count the number of ziyarats that we have for Ma'asumeen, the most that we have are for Abu Abdullah and Hussein, which are in excess of 80 ziyarat reported to be recited on different occasions. Day of Arafah, for example, Day of Ashura, Day of Arba'een, inside the shrine, from distance, from near, from far, for the Day of Ghadir. And for every occasion there is a ziyarat that has been specifically reported from Ma'asumeen to be recited for him. Even for the Holy Prophet we don't find so many ziyarats. For the Ma'asumeen it's the same. So it shows the emphasis which even Ma'asumeen had for the ziyarat of Abu Abdullah and Hussein. In a hadith, our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam, says, Man zara al-Hussein fi yawm ashura wajabat lahu al-jannah. Whosoever visits Abu Abdullah and Hussein on the day of Ashura, wajabat lahu al-jannah. Elsewhere, our eighth Imam is quoted seeing that وَإِنَّ الْبُكَاءَ عَلَيْهِ يَحُطُّ الذُّنُوبِ الْعَذَابِ That someone who cries for Abu Abdullah and Hussein, that crying is a means of shedding away of all the great sins that that person has committed. Elsewhere, it says مَنْ زَارَ قَبْرِ أَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ Whosoever visits the grave of Abu Abdullah on the day of Ashura, عَارِفًا بِحَقِّهِ Knowing his rights, knowing his haqq. That كَمَنْ كَانَ زَارَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي عَرْشِهِ It is as if he has visited the existence of Allah تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى at his throne, and that is in the Arsh. That great honor Abu Abdullah and Hussein possesses, and for him all these loud words have been mentioned by Ma'asumeen alayhim as-salam. There's a hadith from the Holy Prophet. He says that لَا تَدْخُلُ الْمَلَائِكَ بَيْتًا فِيهِ كَلْبٌ That a house wherein there is a dog, angels they won't enter. It's being addressed to the heart of an individual, heart of a person. It says if the heart of a person possesses a dog, angels will not enter. Now what does it mean? That is, if impurities are present in one's heart, angels cannot enter that heart. That heart, it's either Allah who has to rule on it, or it's shaitan. You can't have both of them in that one heart. It's one of them. So all those impurities that we have in the heart, that have, they have to be put aside. And the greatest impurity that we have that bothers the heart the most, it's shirk. That is associating anyone else apart from Allah to Allah and accommodating it in our heart. An issue which I would like to mention over here is that shukuk, doubts, they come into our mind. So those doubts, they have to be corrected. We have to get an answer for them. Or for example, children at a certain age, boys maybe from 14 onwards to 17, 18, they may have a lot of questions, a lot of doubts in their mind. So those doubts, they have to be helped. An answer has to be given to those doubts so that they are eased. And it's normal, we can't say that if we have these doubts in our minds, it's bad. That is part of the game, that those doubts must come into the minds of an individual. First, that shak has to be there, and then when the shak is removed, only then can yaqeen take the place. So yaqeen, it doesn't come out all by itself. First, those shukuk are there, you have to clear those doubts, only then can a person become a mu'min, have that yaqeen. So the same thing is with girls. There is an age, you find that so many doubts are there regarding God, regarding His justice, regarding ma'asumeen, regarding the day of judgment, regarding the hell, the heaven. There are doubts. Some people, these doubts, they have them in their minds and they just go on and on until a solution is found for them. So we have to be smart, like every other cure that we, treatment we give to our body, if it falls into trouble or if it needs medication. The same thing is with this ruh, with this soul. When required, that medication has to be granted to that soul. So if a person has doubts, there's nothing to worry, seek assistance, get help from someone who can help you. And when you get help, don't just Google and get help. That will not, that help is a bad help. And you will get the wrong advice and the wrong solution, and furthermore those doubts, they will just multiply and multiply. Seek an assistance, a specialist advice, so that those doubts you have regarding aqaid, they are removed. The topic that has been selected for tonight is that it is not possible for man to run away from this path of servitude of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We can't just run away from Him. When it comes to ibadat, when it comes to services, we have to be with Him. Running away from this hukumat of Allah, it's impossible. Amir al-Mu'mineen in the dua says that وَلَا يُمْكِنُ الْفَرَارُ مِنْ حُكُومَتِكَ, that it is impossible for me to flee away from your rule. In this dunya, a person may do something and get away and run away, but the rule of Allah is going to be evident in the hereafter. It's going to be only His rule, and there is not going to be any way to run away. So there is no moment in the life of a human being that he could free himself, aloof himself from Allah. There is that connection which is all the time present, he can't get away. Now this servitude, it could be of two types, either right or wrong. That if a man, if he falls into the wrong traps of servitude, that is, he is in search of haq and haqiqat, but he doesn't find haq, he finds that fake haq, that right which is fake, and then falls into those traps of ignorance, of jahalat, of arrogance, then as a result of that, his carnal desires, they will start to grow in him. So he was in search of something, but he found the fake one. As a result of that, he fell into the traps. Now when he fell into these traps, his high aspirations will shut, and a result of that would be that he will become the most notorious creature on earth. Now someone who is lost, who is misguided, who is misled, and that fake Lord has been found, that fake God, for such a person, Quran says that إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَّابِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَسُّمُّ الْبُكْمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ, that's a person who has no faith in God, or who hasn't found the haq and the haqiqat. There's no difference between this person and an animal. He's deaf, dumb and blind, like all the other beasts and animals that Allah has created. So an existence low, an existence haqir, an existence miserable and wretched. He becomes deprived from every goodness. When a person is like that, misled away from the beauties and bounties that Allah has wanted him to possess, becomes a ruthless, a merciless person, so much so that he would have no mercy on his own wife, he would have no mercy on his own children, he would have no mercy on his family. So although each member of the household is responsible for the amal, for the actions, but the father of the family, he has a greater responsibility. The mother, she has a greater responsibility. If she provides the right sustenance for that child, for that family, then it's secure, it's safe. If that right sustenance, now when we talk about sustenance, it doesn't mean only food and drink, it doesn't mean schooling. Because this human body that Allah has created, it has two dimensions. A dimension of it, it's the human body. The other dimension, it's the soul of an individual. Both the body and the soul have to be nourished properly. If you send your children to school to learn for the dunya, at the same time, that deen has to be corrected. That deen has to be spiritually uplifted. And if they don't do, if those children are not brought up in the right way, then the father is at fault. And for those fathers, for those mothers who don't educate their parents, says that on the day of judgment, they will go and complain that we are not at fault. The fault was that of the father. The fault was the mother's fault. They would say, Quran says, وَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّا أَتَعْنَا سَادَتَنَا. God, we followed them. That is, the children would say, God, we followed our parents. وَكُبَرَاءَنَا, and our elders. فَأَذَلُّونَ السَّبِيلَ, they misled us. They did not put us on the right track. Okay? So they misled you. And what is their dua? They say, رَبَّنَا آتِهِمْ ذِعْفَيْنِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ, give them a double share of azab, a double share of punishment. Why? Because they misled us. They misled us. They did not educate us, that is, spiritually. So, for this servitude, for this worship, which is a fake one, which the parents don't provide to their children, there is that severe punishment. And Quran says that مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا. That someone who kills a person, it is as if he has killed the entire humanity. Now killing over here, one of the applicables, it was, is what we do, it was the shooting down and getting killed. The other applicable, which we find in a report from our fifth Imam, he says that it is the killing of that human nature. That if a person kills that beautiful nature or did not guide that person to the right path, he has killed him. He has ruined him, destroyed him. And a person who destroys his children, his wife, his family, does not educate them, فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا, as if he has ruined and killed the entire humanity. And the continuation of the same ayah says that if you educate them, فَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا, one who animates them, one who revives them, one who gives them life how? By spirituality, by educating, by uplifting their aqa'id, their tawheed, the faith they have in the hereafter, فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا, it is as if they have given life to the entire creation. So, the Almighty Allah is an existence possessing all the attributes of perfection. There is no one like the existence of Allah who wants the welfare and the prosperity of an individual, of the of his creation, both in this world and the hereafter. Allah wants us to grow. Allah wants us to elevate. And inna Allah la yarda, that Allah, he doesn't, he's not pleased by his creation being kafir. He doesn't like that. InshaAllah, we'll come to that point. So, Education, it starts both morally and materially. Not everything are we permitted to listen to. Not every person are we permitted to accept as an ustad. Not every person can you accept him to be your mentor. In a hadith, our fifth Imam Baqir alayhi salatu was salam. Says that man asgha ila natiqin faqad abada. That if you listen to an orator, a speaker, it is as if you have worshipped him. And then Imam continues and says that فَإِنْ كَانَ النَّاطِقُ يُؤَدِّي عَنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَقَدْ عَبَدَ اللَّهِ. If the speaker was talking about Allah, teaching you about Allah, says you have worshipped Allah just by listening to that talk, just by listening to that speech, that you were reminded of Allah. فَقَدْ عَبَدَ اللَّهِ. And then says, وَإِنْ كَانَ النَّاطِقُ, if that natiq, that speaker, that spokesman, was talking about shaitan, فَقَدْ عَبَدَ الشَّيْطَانِ, that person has indeed worshipped shaitan. So worshipping shaitan or these shaitan worshippers, it doesn't mean that we have to go to a certain place and then as the others, as they worship shaitan, that worshipping of shaitan is, if you listen to someone who is not the right person, not the right speaker, that again it is worshipping shaitan. One of the things to which a lot of importance and emphasis has been given to is that the doors of the hell, they are seven. The inputs to this human soul in the human body, they too are seven. The private parts too, the eyes, the ears and the mouth. There's these seven inputs to the soul, if you secure them, if you have them shut and closed at all times, only when it is halal, only whether it's lawful, you open them, your soul, your ruh will not be contaminated, it will not be polluted. Now many a times we find that it is almost impossible for us to have the presence of mind in prayers, that huzur that we have to have, we don't have that huzur in our prayers. When asked, the reply was given that you control the inputs to your soul, you will perform a better service in your prayers. Now it happens that during the day these inputs are left open, all that trash, it just gets pumped into the soul through the eyes, through the ears, through the mouth. And then when it is time to pray, all that has been accumulated and collected in the soul, it pumps up, it comes out, as a result of which we are not able to perform a better service in our prayer. Quran says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whosoever is obedient to the Prophet is obedient, has indeed been obedient to Allah. So if one does not listen to the commands of Allah, he ends up responding to his own desires again, and he ends up being a slave of others. And Amir al-Mu'mineen in that beautiful hadith says that لا تكن عبد غيرك فقد جعلك الله حرا. That never be a slave of another, whence Allah, he has made you free. Now when I listen to my own temptations and the calls of my temptations, it is as if I have worshipped my own self. I haven't worshipped Allah. And there is this beautiful hadith that we have. It is Hadith al-Qudsi. It says, if you are obedient to Allah, how Allah will provide you. What amazing results this obedience has. Says Yabna Adam, O sons of Adam, Ana ghaniyun la aftaqir, I am that rich who is never needy. Fima ati'ni fima amartuk, aj'aluka ghaniyan la taftaqir. That you be obedient to me, I will make you like myself. As I am ghani, as I am rich and not in need, I will make you ghani so that you are never in need. How? By that obedience. Now obedience means just moving within that framework that Allah has set. All those do's and don'ts that mujtahideen, which you follow, say, just stick to that plan and that it is. Continues, says, Yabna Adam, O son of Adam, Ana hayyun la amut, I am that living who never dies. Be obedient to me, fima amartu, in what I have said to you, aj'aluka hayyan la tamut, I will make you hay, living who never dies. And furthermore, the third one says that, Yabna Adam, O sons of Adam, Ana aqulu li shay'in kun fayakun, that I say to a thing, be it becomes. Now this kun fayakun, which Quran mentions, for Allah, for Him to bring something into creation, into existence, He doesn't need these words. Now these words have been mentioned in Quran to convey the message so that we understand what He wants, what He intends, and what He wants to say. Says when Allah wants something to happen, says kun, be and it becomes. Here Allah says that to us, to the creation of His, says, you be obedient to me and I will make you like me, that you would say to a thing, be and it will become. That kun fayakun, which is the possession of Allah, will be, we become a reflection of it. To understand this on a lower level, marhum Qazi Tabatabai, Allama Tabatabai, the author of Tafsir al-Mizan, he says that when I was in my early days in Najaf, I was walking with my ustad and we came to Masjid al-Sahra. Says he was talking to me all the way with his head down, and we come to Masjid al-Sahra, there was this huge big snake on the ground. And I was scared that this snake, if it attacks, is going to kill both of us, a huge big snake. Says this ustad, he took no notice of that snake. We were just walking. He, amidst his talk, says, Mot, bismillah, that die by the command of God to the snake, and that snake just dies. That is kun fayakun, that if a person is obedient to Allah, he says that I will make you say kun fayakun, as I bring things into existence by that word kun fayakun, and if it happens, you also will be given the same ability. The same thing can be seen with another arif, that when he was walking with his student, and as student he wouldn't accept many of the things. He says, unless I see a karamat from you. They were walking and there was a dead pigeon, all rotten, decomposed. Says, if you bring this to life, I will accept what you say. He says, okay. Says, Bismillah, and that dead pigeon is living. So bringing things to life, or performing these miraculous tasks, are a result of obedience. Only obedience. And a person can get to them only through the path of Ahlul Bayt, through the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, and there is no other way out. Allama Majlisi, in the 78th volume of Biharul Anwar, has a beautiful hadith, because we talked about the inputs to the soul, how they have to be closed, or they have to be vigilant at all times, and that heart has to be pure and clean, because Rasulullah says that a house wherein a dog lives, angels they don't enter. That heart has to be clean, because the nur of Allah is to enter that heart. Says in this hadith from our seventh Imam, تَفَقَّهُ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ الْفِقْهِ مِفْتَاحُ الْبَصِيرَةِ وَتَمَامُ الْعِبَادَةِ. Know the religion of Allah. Teach that religion to yourself. Know your aqaid, who Allah is, His oneness, His justice, belief in the prophethood, all of the prophets, and the belief in the Day of Judgment. That you have to learn. As it was mentioned yesterday, this dua, adila, once in a while, just recite it. See what our aqaid are. Because the departure from this world, it's tough. And according to that hadith, says that many a times, due to the pains of sakarat, of departing from this world, due to that shaking and horror, a person may forget his aqaid if they are not strong enough. Says, know your religion, understand it, learn well. فَإِنَّ الْفِقْهِ مِفْتَاحُ الْبَصِيرَةِ. Because that knowing of yours, that learning of yours, will be a key to insight. And if you want to enlighten ourselves, we have to know the religion. If there are doubts in our minds, those doubts have to be corrected. Just don't just leave those doubts to remain, because after a while it becomes cancerous and then no cure can be found for those doubts. So the religion of Allah, the teachings that have been taught to us by all of the prophets, 124,000, I accept them as a package, and these prophets also, they conveyed this message with all those painstaking efforts throughout their life, that mission of propagation was performed. Now this huge big investment that Allah has as a result through propagation and sending of all of the prophets, and then the investment he has for guidance, why is that? It's for this human being to elevate, for this human being to ascend, for this human being to benefit from all the favors and bestowals and blessings of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And when Rasulullah performs this task of propagation, he says that مَا سَأَلْتُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. I don't want any reward from you. إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ. My reward is from Allah. This field of tabligh, field of delivering the message of Allah, no one can pay that price. Only Allah can pay the price and the ajr of it. So Masoom says, تَفَقَّهُ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. Learn your religion. Why? Because that learning of your religion is the key towards the spiritual insight which will open up all the doors in your heart. Now how do we learn this religion? Do we just get it from anywhere, from everywhere? Through the Imam. الْيَوْمْ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. That your deen was perfected on that day, that is through the household of Rasulullah. Whatever we want to get, it has to be sought. We have to get it from Rasulullah, from Amir al-Mu'mineen, from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and there is no other way out. We can't knock any door to learn anything. The door from which we can learn is the door of Ahlul Bayt. Now, why is all this emphasis that we have to correct ourselves, we have to be a mu'min, a practicing mu'min, a high-class mu'min, why is all that? Because Quran says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. Allah is not pleased by a person observing and having kufr. Kufr Allah doesn't like. He does not want there to be a barrier between him and his creation. Kufr is a barrier. Kufr is a hijab. Kufr in every aspect, in all levels, they are all barriers and hijabs that hinder between God and his creation. He says they should be away. Why? He loves his creation. Now, the bond which Allah has created with his creation, it's based on love, mahabba. The wilaya which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has with his creation, it's based on love. Like the wilayat a father has over his daughter, that she needs his permission to get married, or the children, the father, they has a wilaya on the children, that is also based on love. Why do you need the father's permission? Because he knows your best. He has raised you. He has provided for you. He has taken care of you. And that taking care, that provision, that education was based on love. So that wilaya which the father possesses over the children is based on that love too. Allah has a similar bond with us that is also based on love. Ma'asumeen, they have a similar bond with us that too is based on love. So, if a person corrects his aqa'id, If that heart of his is pure, all those dogs and every impurity has been thrown out. Says, as a result of that, Allah blesses and grants him all that he says that he will be a reflection like that of mine. Without a pure heart, a person will suffer. Marhum Allama Tabatabai again quotes from his ustad, says that during his time there was a woman who died. They were taking this woman to be laid to rest, to be buried. The daughter, she was crying and restless a lot. So much so that when the grave was dug, the mother was laid in the grave, she throws herself onto the mother. Says that, I can't leave my mother from here. Now this woman who had died was an Afandi in Najaf, Afandi meaning the followers of Usman. Says the daughter, she also threw herself in the grave, and they said that if we take the daughter out, she will just pass out. She will be shocked and she will die. So they say that we just leave her there for a while and we will not close the grave completely. It was just covered by something and they come out. In the morning or after an hour, this girl, she is seen, horrified, hunched, all her hair white. When she was asked what happened, she says that you all went away from there. Two angels came into the grave, as we have faith in that. The angels were su'ala munkarin wa nakirin haq. The questioning in the grave is haq. The questioning of munkar and nakir is haq. And the book is haq. Accountability is haq. All that is right. Says when the questioning started, who your Lord is? She said, yes, Allahu Rabbi. Who your Prophet is? She named the Prophet, he is my Prophet. When it came to Amir al-Mu'mineen, because she had no faith in Amir al-Mu'mineen, she didn't accept him as his wali, as his imam, she was lashed. She says that one lash to my mother was a lash and a whip of fire which just burnt everything down. And the horror was so, it was so horrific that I couldn't bear as a result of it. Now we find similar ayat in Quran that the horror of the Day of Judgment, it's so severe that that women who are pregnant will drop their load. The horror is so severe that people, they would turn old. So much so that in Riwayat we find that Prophet Ibrahim, to whom his son Ismail is the most dearest, who he loves the most, says, Rabbi Nafsi Nafsi. God have mercy on me first, because of the horror of the Day of Judgment, which is so severe. So we have to correct our aqaid. We have to fix them. Tawheed, belief in one God, belief in His justice that He is adil, belief in the prophethood, all of them, that we have 124,000 prophets, we have faith in them, and the belief in the Day of Judgment. Why? Because Allah la yarda li'ibadihi al-kufr. Allah, He does not want, He does not desire, He is not pleased with His ibad, with His creation, accepting kufr. So over here in this hadith, our seventh imam says that tafaqqahu fi deenillah, learn the religion, know the religion. And what do we do after the Prophet? If you look into Quran, we have an ayah which says that وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. First, we take the deen from the Prophet. After the Prophet, what do we do? Is there a continuation? Quran says وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Rasikhuna fil ilm, they are those who are firm in ilm. Who are they? They are the Ahlul Dhikr, which Quran says. Those who possess that. Dhikr is the name of Quran. Ahlul Dhikr are Ahlul Bayt. Rasikhun are Ahlul Bayt. Muhsineen that have been mentioned in Quran are Ahlul Bayt. Alim, Alimun, which is mentioned in the ayat of Quran, are Ahlul Bayt. Mu'minun, also the highest level of them, it's Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, it is Ahlul Bayt, who are the firmest in the knowledge. So, deen is to be sought from the Prophet, after the Prophet from the Rasikhun, not from anywhere, not from everyone. Or as that hadith was mentioned, whosoever listens to anything from anyone has worshipped him. If the speaker was speaking, because we can't judge what is right and wrong, it's so difficult nowadays, unless a person is smart enough to take any... When it comes to accepting an ustad, the teaching is that don't take anyone as your ustad, because he will have an effect on you. Go to the right people, go to the right persons, take the knowledge. Marhum Qazi Tamatabai, he used to say that if it takes as many as 40, 50 years for you to search and get to an ustad, it's worth that investment. You've lost 50 years. Say, if you find the right person, that right person will make you reach your destination quick. But if we go to the wrong person, get any information from every speaker, from any speaker, then he will ruin you. Ma'soom says that وَإِنْ كَانَ النَّافِقُ يَنْتِقُ عَنْ إِبْلِيسَ فَقَدْ عَبَدَ إِبْلِيسَ. And if that speaker was talking about, it's difficult, because with all these beautiful words, we think that everyone is speaking right. Everyone could be a media player. In the media player, you can just have all the files. It will play the good files, the bad files, the music and everything. It's just a media player. We don't need to go after a media player. We have to learn from the right sources, from the right persons, from the right... When it comes to teaching, Quran says, from Rasulullah, after Rasulullah, from Rasikhun. Rasikhun are Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Rasikhun is Amirul Mu'mineen. Never he said, now Amirul Mu'mineen, whenever a person asked anything from him, he never said, I don't know. So that is Rasikh. That is someone who is firm. When it comes to the knowledge of Amirul Mu'mineen, when it comes to the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt, it's amazing. If you look into the story that Quran has regarding Prophet Musa and Khizr alayhim as-salam, Prophet Musa is instructed to go to Khizr to learn, to study, to be his student. Address is given to him that you will go towards the Mediterranean Sea, and there even the other indication that is given to Prophet Musa is that you will come to a point where you will find that on from the table that is laid by the Mediterranean Sea, fish that is cooked on the table will fall into the sea and will become alive, will start swimming. Says that is the indication, that is your spot where you will meet Prophet Khizr. He says that he comes to that spot exactly as he was told. He sees fish that was cooked on the table fell into the sea and is alive. And there he says that I was having a dialogue with Prophet Khizr. There a little tiny bird comes to the sea, dips that small beak of it into the water, and then a tinier drop fell off that tiny beak of that bird. Jibreel descends. Says Prophet Khizr, do you know what that was? That little tiny drop which fell out of the beak of that bird who had dipped its beak into that water of that huge big ocean? He says, no. Ask the same question to Prophet Musa. Do you know that? He says, I don't know. Then Jibreel says, that knowledge, that little tiny drop which fell from the beak of that bird into that huge big ocean, that is all the knowledge which you two possess, all of it. And then says that in the end of time, a prophet and his successor, that is Amirul Mu'mineen and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the knowledge which they will possess is as vast as these oceans. So no comparison. During the life, throughout the life of Amirul Mu'mineen, whenever he was asked a question, he gave an answer. He never said, I don't know. So that is Rasikhun. They are those who are the firmest who we have to go to. If a person has an answer to a question, and there are 100 million questions which he has no answer to, we can't go to that person. We can't go to them. The address of Amirul Mu'mineen, the address of Ahlul Bayt, if we were to give an address to them, it is their name and then @throne.Allah. That is what we find from Ahadith. that their location, it's there. When you go to the ziyarat of Ma'sumeen, or when you come to a majlis of Aba Abdullah, again this majlis is connected to the arsh of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We can't say that the angels, they are a being or a creation higher. They are not. Angels who are the best of the creations of Allah are like you and me, visitors, audience of majlis of Ma'sumeen, audience in a majlis of azar of Ahlul Bayt. So the angels before them in these majalis are like you and me, like a za'ir, like a visitor in the presence of Ma'sumeen. And we, when we go to the shrines and majalis, the honor, the dignity, the fame, the value which we have, that cannot be described. That is why Allah says, I will reward, and that is the reward I will give. So, we get deen from Rasulullah, after Rasulullah from Rasikhun, who are the firmest, which is Ahlul Bayt. Or elsewhere in Quran says that, وَقُلْ اِعْمَلُوا فَسَيَّرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ. Do as you wish, all your actions. Allah is watching you. Then says, وَرَسُولُهُ. Rasul is also watching. And then says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Mu'minun are the imams. That is, the highest level of iman and the applicable of iman are the mu'minun, which is A'imma Athar alayhi salam. So that is that pattern which Allah has laid. We take deen from them and no one else. We learn from them and no one else. Again, if you look into the du'as that we have, there are so many numerous du'as, or this, or the books that we have, they are so rich and ghani, no other faith, no other religion possesses them. We can't speak to each other properly. Allah has permitted us to speak to Him. Now when we are to speak to Allah, how do we speak? We don't know. It's Ma'sumeen who teach us. It's those Rasikhun who teach us how to approach Allah, how to talk to Him. And in these du'as that we have, for example, du'a Iftitah, du'a Tumayn, du'a Josh and Kabir, Ma'sumeen has taught us in the best way how you communicate with Allah. The language that you have to use when you come to communicate with Allah. Now with this beautiful bond that we have with them, that is all based on love and mahabbah, initially created by Allah with His creation, then Ma'sumeen with the creation, then the parents with their children. So all that is based on love. And someone who is with them benefits a lot. Marhum Ayatullah Shaykh Murtaza Ashtiani, one of the noble ulama who is buried by the grave of our 8th Imam Reza alayhi salatu wassalam in Mashhad. He, an old man, serves for about 78 years for the noble cause of Ahlul Bayt. And when it is time for his departure, prior to his departure, he has this vision he sees. After his departure, his immediate family, they report what they have seen. Says that when he was buried and everyone had left him, says the grave, it slides open. 1, 2, 3, 14 members enter the grave. The questioning starts. Man Rabbuk. There Rasulullah is the first person present in the grave, says to those questioning, the angels questioning, let him rest, he is tired. Because the riwayat that we have, they say that when a person dies due to the horror that he has seen, the pain of the death, it's like traveling. That we travel all the way and then we have this jet lag and you are tired and you want to have rest for a few hours and then you get fixed and you are fresh. The same thing is when we depart from this dunya, there is this, after all it's a journey makes a person tired. Rasulullah says, leave him, he is tired, he has just arrived. You want to ask him? Don't ask him. He's been serving me for the past 70 years. He's been teaching mu'mineen who Allah is, their aqa'id, their faiths and their beliefs. Says, I will answer on his behalf. So Rasulullah becomes his wakil representative in responding to the questions which Munkir and Nakir are asking from Marhum Ashtiani. The first question, Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? Rasulullah says on his behalf, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu Rabbi, that Allah is the Lord. Says, Man Nabiyuk, who is your Nabi? He steps forward, says, I am his Prophet. Who is your Imam? Amir al-Mu'mineen stands up, says, I am his Imam. One after the other, each one of them, they answer. So someone who is with them, that beautiful bond based upon love is created and they benefit. So, after Rasulullah, it's those rasikhun who are the Imams. After Rasulullah, it's those mu'minun who are the Imams. Or if you look into Quran, to this hadith, this beautiful hadith which Rasulullah says, "Inni tarikun fiikum athqalain," I'm leaving behind you two things, two precious things, which is the Book of Allah and Ahlul Bayt. In reality, they are not two, they are one. It's not the Book a separate entity and Ahlul Bayt a separate entity. To understand this in our language, in today's language, it's another format of Quran, Ahlul Bayt. That is, the Creator is one, you've got a file, you save it sometimes as a Word document, you save the same file as a PPT, you save the same file as a PDF, it's one file. Ahlul Bayt are another format of that same Quran. Quran is another format of Ahlul Bayt. The two are the one, Creator is one, Origin is one, they are, the two are one. So this one is in the form of a script and a book, its words and symbols, they are in another format, another form. So the two have to be taken. If we don't take the two, we are destroyed, we are misled. How beautiful Rasulullah says, these two have to be taken. Like a bird possessing two wings. One of the wings is broken, it won't fly, it won't elevate, it will just fall down and destroy. Here, concluding once again, this teaching, this hadith from our seventh Imam says that tafaqqahu fi deenillah, learn your religion, learn your Rasul, correct them. Why? فَإِنَّ الْفِقْهِ مِفْتَاحُ الْبَصِيرَةِ. This fiqh, this learning of yours will be the keys to insight, وَتَمَامُ الْعِبَادَةِ, and then your ibadat also will be perfect, will be complete. وَالسَّبَبُ إِلَى مَنَازِلِ الرَّفِيعَةِ. That learning of yours will result in you elevating and arriving at high and higher levels and ranks. Inshallah, I'll continue this hadith tomorrow. Tonight, we have all gathered here to remember Qasim ibn al-Hasan, the son of our second Imam, who again is present in Karbala. Age is about 13 or 10 years of age. And it is after the Shahadat of Hazrat Ali Akbar, the young men of Hashimite, they step forward one after the other. Qasim, about 13 years old, he comes to his uncle and says that, Imam, allow me to sacrifice myself for you. Now before that, Imam, on the night of the 9th, that is the Tasu'a, the 9th of Muharram, asks Qasim, كَيْفَ الْمَوْتَ عِنْدَكَ. How do you find death? He says, أَحْلَى مِنَ الْعَسَلِ, sweeter than honey. Imam says to them that a bala is fast approaching, which is going to be tomorrow. Not just you, but even Abdullah al-Radi, which is the infant Ali Asghar, he also will be killed. Imam Mujtaba, at the time of his death, calls his children. At that time, Qasim is very young. Says Qasim, the day you hear the call of Hal min nasirin yansurini, is there anyone to help me? I want you to be my representative, to represent me with the Imam of your time, Abu Abdullah Hussein. You must not leave him alone. He will not allow you to step forward to go and fight. You will plead. He will not accept. This note I give you, take this note and give it to him, and then he will allow you to fight. And on the day of Ashura, as he was told, it unfolds, comes and pleads, he wouldn't accept, comes to his aunt and to his mother, says, uncle, he won't accept me, he doesn't want me to sacrifice myself. The mother brings that note and says, take this to your uncle. And in that note, Imam Mustafa says to his brother Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, saying, don't let my child, my son, plead so much. Allow him, let him go. And on that day, when he sets off to the battlefront, he has a rajas, says, in tanfuruni ana ibnul Hasan. If you deny me, I am the son of Hasan. Sibtun Nabiyyil Mustafa al-Mu'taman, the grandson of Mustafa. Hada Husaynun kal asir al-mihan murtahan. This is my Husayn, you see, like a prisoner. Bayna unasin la suqu sawb al-mazan. This is Husayn like a prisoner in captivity. May God never bestow His mercy upon His enemies. Amr bin Saad, as he says that, I swear I will attack. He attacks Qasim on his head. Qasim is wounded, falls on to the ground, and there is an ambush of horses from all sides, as a result of which this Qasim is pounded and crushed under the feet of these horses. He raises the cry to his uncle for help. Abu Abdullah comes to him, sees that he is rubbing his feet on the ground, and then says, Azza wallah, ala ammika an tad'uhu fala yujibuk, aw yujibuka fala yanfa'u. That it is tough on your uncle that you call him, that you raise your call for help for him to come. He comes, but he couldn't assist you. After Qasim, Imam says, Sabran ala bani umumati, that patience to everyone. After Qasim, one after the other, everyone dies. A time comes that there is no one left. This noble horse of Abu Abdullah comes to the camps, and without the rider on the horse. Toddler of Abu Abdullah and Hussein comes to the horse and says, Ya Jawad Abi, Hal Suqiya Abi Am Qutila Adshana. O loyal horse of my father, tell me, Hal Suqiya Abi, was my father's thirst quenched? Am Qutila Adshana? He died thirsty. The question was from the horse. The answer is heard from somewhere else, from the head, from the body. And what is that answer? Says Shi'ati ma in sharibtum ma azbin fankuruni. My Shias, whenever you drink a sip of water, do remember. Aw sami'tum bi shahidin. That if you hear that there is a gharib somewhere, fandibuni, listen to the cry and help me. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayya'lamu al-ladhina zalamu ayyamun qalbin yanqalibun. Ilahi bihaq al-zahra wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirr al-mustawdaq fiha. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Allahumma ighfir lana wa li walidayna wa liman wajaba lahu haqqun alayna wa liman wassana bid-du'a wa li jami'i ummati Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma aghnina bihalalika an harami wa bita'atika an ma'siyati wa bifadlika amman siwa. Matam
Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein.